Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and today we are wrapping up this series that we are calling This Is What We Do. How many of y'all are sad to see this series go, aren't you? Two of you are. Some of you are like, hey, it's been going on. Man, I tell you what, I am sad to see this go, that this has been such a powerful series for us, and if you haven't been part of this, or maybe if you're newer to our church and you're wondering, okay, what is this all about? Why are you talking about this? Because one thing that we believe at Focus 314 is that we love to be part of the big church. And what I mean by that is that kind of every single church, different personalities of churches, different denomination of churches, that as long as we're serving the exact same God, that we are excited that there's different personalities and different kind of views of things, because there are different personalities that each individual has. And so what we've been doing during this series is just kind of, we've been talking about who we are and what we do, who we are as a church and what we do. And it's so important for every single person that has heard this message. If you're new or newer to the church and you're wondering, well, what sets this church apart? Or maybe you've been part of Focus 314 for quite a while and you just needed a refresher. And the reason why this is so important is because that when we say yes to Jesus, when we become a follower of Jesus, that he asks us to add value to the kingdom, to add value to being part of the church. And the great thing about saying that I want to add value at a specific church is you're saying, you know what, I'm bought into that church. That's the kind of church that I want to be part of. And we need everybody to be on the same page moving forward so that you can say, yes, I want to add value to the kingdom right there. This is my church and this is where I'm going to add value. And why is that so important? The great thing about the way that God works in his economy is that whatever we add, God multiplies. Come on, somebody. Whatever we add, God multiplies. And so we want to see every single person that is a follower of Jesus adding value to the kingdom. Because when you add value, God multiplies. We get this from the verse that we've been covering this entire series, 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase. Somebody say increase today. Increase. We love that word increase, because in God, in the original language, that word increase can also be translated as enlarge, magnify, or multiply. Somebody say multiply today. Hopefully, those of you that have been part of this series this entire time, that I have talked about this so much that you know it inside and out. That this is something that is not just something that you've heard, that this is becoming part of you, that this is becoming a core of you, because that's exactly what we're talking about. We are talking about the core values of this church. And if they're core values of this church, then we want them to be core values for you. That we're driving it home so much that it's not even something that you even think twice about. It's just like, oh yeah, of course, that's who we are. Doesn't everybody know that? No, it's just who you are. And that's who we are. And that's what we do. And so the place that we get our mission from and our statement of that from is from Philippians 3:14. It's where we get the funky name from our church from as well. And it says this, I press on. Everybody say press on today. Press on. Come on, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That the goal that we have is that we can lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ, which means that we want to help people focus on Jesus no matter what is going on in their life. No matter if they're going through a fantastic season of their life, that they can keep their focus on Jesus. If they're going through some difficult times in their life, that they can keep their focus upon Jesus. That's who we are, and this is what we do. Now, how do we make sure that we stay true to the calling that we have? That's the core values. And this is what we do. We believe that God has called us to be a dangerous church, meaning this, that we are going to love people no matter what. Why? Because Jesus loves people no matter what. And we're going to follow that example to love in a dangerous way. And it also means this, that we are going to hold fast to Scripture, that we are going to believe that it says what it says, in a culture that says, hey, you need to go ahead and just not take that verse so literally. Don't take that verse. Let's go ahead and get rid of that verse for a little bit because culture doesn't like that. And we say, no, we're going to believe in Scripture in a dangerous way and we're going to love in a dangerous way. How many of y'all know that's not easy to do? But that's who we are and this is what we do. We're going to be dangerous. We're going to be excellent. We're not going to settle. We're going to do things with excellence. We are called to be generous and willing to share. Come on, somebody. How many love to be a generous person? I love that so much. We believe that God has called us to be passionate. Why? Because he is passionate for us. And so we want to be able to be passionate towards Jesus. If there's one thing that should be able to elevate your heart rate just a little bit, it should be when somebody says the name of Jesus to you. Come on now, I want to talk to me about Jesus a little bit. I'm passionate about Jesus. We are a passionate church. We are a leading church. We believe that God has called all Christians to be above and not below, that he has called us to be the head and not the tail, that we should be leaders in our community, that we should be leaders in our family, that we should be leaders, and they are springing up from our church. Come on now. How many of y'all getting excited about what we do? We believe that God has called us to be a life-giving church and not a life-taking church, that as soon as you leave these doors that you're feeling something like, I don't know what that was, but I feel so good about being there. I don't know what that was. Like I even felt bad and guilty about some stuff that I was doing earlier, but I feel so good. Like it's life-giving to you. We believe that God has called us to be a life-giving church. We believe that God has called us to be a fun church, right? Yeah. I mean, I want to joke. Anybody know? Some of you are like, no, I'm all joked out from last week, Pastor. That was enough jokes from you last week. You could go back to the podcast, listen to all those. Those are good ones, all right? And then this week we are wrapping things up, and we are a church on mission. We are a church on mission. We believe with everything inside of us that the first and foremost thing that we do is that we stay on mission. Now, let me tell you, there's a big difference between being a church on mission and being a church with a mission. Being a church with a mission is passive. It says that I've got a mission, but I'm going to go ahead and file it away for when I want to be able to fulfill it. A church on mission says that we are active in what God is calling us to do, that we will be a church on mission. And we don't get the mission just for ourselves of what we feel like we want to do. No, no, no. We're going to be a church on the mission of Jesus Christ. And what is the mission that Jesus has for his church? Check this out in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. No, no, no. Instead, he is patient with you. He is patient with us. He is patient with the East Valley. He is patient with Phoenix. He is patient with Arizona. He is patient with the United States, with our culture, with everything that we are doing. God is patient with us. And his desire and his mission is this, is that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come into repentance. He doesn't want to see anybody experience a life away from him. Instead, the mission that Jesus has is for each and every single one of us to experience life, to experience parousos, exceedingly abundant life that he has for us. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But Jesus has come to do what? To give you life and to have it in the full, to have parousos. Somebody say parousos today. Parousos. Man, we love that Greek word because every time I think of it, I think of two Chick-fil-A sauces together, and you know that that is the glory of the Lord right there, isn't it? A pair of sauce. I don't need one. I need a pair of them. That is lunch to the full right there. Come on now. That's funny stuff. You thought the jokes were over from last week. That's what Jesus has for us. The mission that he has for us is for everyone, for none to fall away from that, for every single person to experience the life that he has for us. That's the mission that God has, and so that's the mission that we have as a church. Check this out. For it is by grace that you have been saved. How many are so thankful for the grace and mercy of Jesus today? It is for the grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. I'm so thankful that he is generous to us, giving us free gifts of his salvation and his son. not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, and this is powerful right here, created in Christ Jesus to feel good about ourselves. Created in Christ Jesus so that you can come to church and get goosebumps because you get a good feeling, right? Oh, wait, no, we're in church. To get Holy Ghost bumps because you feel something, right? Created in Christ Jesus so that you can spend 2 hours on your Sunday morning feeling that you've done your good deed, and then you can go live the rest of the way that you want the rest of the week, right? No. We are created in Christ Jesus that when we become a follower of Jesus, that all of a sudden he has created in us to do good works. That when you say yes to Jesus, that you have this unique opportunity and a unique responsibility to partner with the mission of Jesus Christ. And we at Focus 314, we want to take that opportunity and responsibility very seriously. Because I don't know about you, but the older that I get, the more that I realize that time is short, isn't it? Time is short. And moments and relationships that you have with people, they're only fleeting. And I don't want to waste any of those moments. I don't want to waste a season that God has for me. I don't want to waste a season that God has for our church and just think, you know what, we're going to be able to reach person sometime later. The older that I get, the more seriously that I take this responsibility. The more seriously I take this opportunity that God has chosen us, faulty and human, to be able to fulfill his mission. Come on, somebody. We should be excited about that. We should get excited about that. And to be able to say, yes, absolutely. Jesus, I want to partner with you so that I can be a person on mission. I want to be a person that God is fulfilling his calling to see all people come to know him. Through me, that is something that I get excited about. I get a little bit excited to know that Jesus loves me so much that he changed me from the inside out, and then I have the opportunity to reach somebody else and to see somebody else come into the exact same life-giving salvation that he has given me. I get excited about that. And as a church, we should get excited about that. And so as a church, we are going to be a church on mission. Can I get an amen today? And so that means that everything that we do flows through that. Nothing that we're going to do that we want to be able to deviate from being a church on mission. In fact, if there's something going on and it pulls us away from being on mission, then we need to have some tough conversations. We need to be able to look at ourselves and to be able to say, is this really the direction that God has us to go? And sometimes those tough questions can lead to tough conversations, and that we have to say no to certain things so that we can make sure that we are a church on mission, right? It's hard to be able to do that, but we're going to be able to fulfill it. We're going to be able to make sure that we will never deviate from the mission that God has for us. Why? Because we are a church on mission. Check this out, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, and when he said Jesus came to them, this is at the very kind of end of Jesus' time on earth. So let me set this up for you, that at the beginning of all things, that God created all things to be perfect and to never experience pain, to never experience tragedy, to never experience death. And all of a sudden, in one moment of faulty humanity coming in, all of a sudden, all of that was changed. And now we do experience a world that is hard and difficult. Don't you all know that, right? You're like, you don't have to tell me. You should see the week that I just had. But that's not what God has for us. And so God had a plan to be able to send his one and only son to be able to overcome that death that we brought into this world. And when he overcame death, because he rose up from the grave, after a while, after he was resurrected, then he took some time and he was with his disciples. And in one of those moments before he ascended into heaven, he said this to his disciples. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. Come on, somebody. Doesn't that fill you with hope today? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is where we get our mission, that God gave us this mission. In fact, many of you, if you grew up in church or you have kind of a church background, you've heard of this verse before, and it's called the Great Commission of God, where he's commissioning disciples and followers of his to go and fulfill this. This is the mission that we have. And so the mission statement that we have as our church is this, that we want to be a church to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Simply stated, we are a church focused on changed lives. That's who we are. And we get that statement from the Great Commission, from that passage that we just read. Looking at Matthew, we say that is where we want to be able to go towards. Now here's the reality of this, though. This is hard to do, isn't it? The reality is this, is that it takes action for us to be able to fulfill the mission of God. And what I want to be able to tell you today is this, is Jesus isn't just looking for believers, he's looking for followers today. See, following takes action. You don't just believe in Jesus, that he is calling us to be followers of Jesus. That you need to be able to do something about the choice that you made to follow Jesus. Not just to believe in him, but to follow him. Check this out. James 2:19 says, hey, you believe that there is one God. Good. That's great. Because the reality is this. We don't live in a culture that everybody actually does believe, right? Well, let's actually take that back. If you look at studies, and Pew Research has done studies, that still the majority of America believes in a God. Some sort of God. They believe in God. But how many are active in their faith? See, God isn't calling us to just believe in him. He is calling us to follow him. Get a little quiet in here today, right? Following takes action. Following takes us being on mission. See, believing in Jesus isn't just enough. Look at this. Even the demons believe in that. Shudder. Uh-oh. Even the demons, even the enemies of Jesus believe in him. He's not calling us to just believe in him. He is calling us to follow him. Okay. Following him gives us a responsibility and an opportunity to follow what he says. Okay. We're going to be a church full of fully devoted followers of Christ. Not fully devoted believers, followers. Come on, church, this is going to be... Anybody ready to get challenged today? Because this is a message that's going to challenge you. This is a message that's going to call you to action today. As a church, we need to be a church that is active in fulfilling the mission. We are a church on mission. Anybody want to be challenged today? So here's what I'm going to do today. For us to make sure that we are a church on mission, it requires for you to be on mission. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask for three commitments from you. That we're going to look at this verse again, Matthew 28:19-20, and we're going to look at three commitments that God is asking us to fulfill to make sure that we ourselves are followers and not just believers. Anybody ready to be challenged today? You're getting there. Hopefully, you're going to be able to take this challenge because this is serious. We just are. This is a serious thing that God has given each and every single one of us. So here we go. Commitment number one is this. God is calling us to reach people. We need to make the commitment to reach people. Check this out. This church isn't about who's here. It's about who's not here yet. Let me say that again, because that was so nice, I need to say it twice, all right? Church isn't about who's here, it's about who's not here yet. Some of you aren't even buying into that right now. Some of you aren't sure exactly what that means, because I thought I needed to be able to come to a church so that I could get cared for. Wait, I thought I was going to a church so that I could find just a community of people that would be able to love me. Yeah, those are great benefits. Those are great things that happen. But guess what? You can also go to another place. You can go anyplace else and find that. Yeah. You can go anyplace else and you can go join a country club. You're going to be able to find connection. You're going to be able to find community. Like, well, that's not free. All right, go get a library card or something, you know? Go find someplace. You can go anywhere and find connection with people. You can go anywhere and be able to find that kind of stuff. No, God is calling us that when we come to church and we experience Jesus, he's saying, okay, now it's time for you to be able to go fulfill this. So it's not about who's here. It's about who's not here yet. That we shouldn't just be praying for the people in our church. We should be praying for the people who aren't in our church yet. We shouldn't just be praying for Christians. We should be praying for people who don't know Jesus yet. Can I get an amen right now? Come on, it doesn't seem like you're buying into this right now. This is serious business. Because we're talking about the business of lives. We're talking about souls that don't know Jesus. I'm here to challenge you today. Because that's what God has for us. That we can't sell this season short. We need to make sure that we are a church on mission. It's not about who's here. I'm going to tell you that right now. I love every single person who's here. I love being part of this church. In fact, just yesterday we had a Serve Day 2019, and over 50 of y'all came out, and we got to serve our community in a powerful way. It was so fantastic to be able to see everybody out there changing lives one smile at a time, and I was so proud to be part of this church. I love every single person that's part of this church, but I got to tell you right now, my heart doesn't break for you. My heart breaks for the people who aren't here yet. Who desperately need to know and experience Jesus the way that you have experienced Jesus. That we need to be a church on mission. Check this out, Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go. Go and make disciples. Jesus didn't say, go build a building and ask them to come to you. Uh-oh. He said to go and make disciples, meaning that we are called to reach people. We are called to go out and reach people and making disciples, making followers of Jesus. That's what he has called us to do. When we say yes to Jesus, that we ourselves get discipled, and then we get to be able to take that life-changing experience that we have and bring it to somebody else. Come on. That's powerful. So then the question that I have, well, how? How do I do that? How do I go and reach somebody? How do I go and make a disciple? Does that mean that I should like become a missionary and like go to Africa and whatever? Like, is that how we're supposed to? Because it says all nations, right? Is that how I'm supposed to do it? Maybe. It might be for you if that's what God's leading inside of you, but I'm going to tell you a much easier and simpler way to do that. Why don't you just go ahead and reach those that are already close to you? Why don't you just already reach the people that are already in your sphere of influence? Why don't you just go ahead and reach somebody that you already know their name? Right? How do you do that? Why don't you just talk to somebody about Jesus? Why don't you just talk to somebody about how Jesus has changed your life? Why don't you talk to somebody about how your marriage is better than it ever has been before? It's not perfect. But it's fantastic because of the restoration that God has brought the two of you. And you make sure that Jesus is part of that conversation. Why don't you talk about the freedom from addiction that you have? Why don't you talk to somebody about how you've never experienced this kind of thing before? Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I just know that it's Jesus. How do you reach somebody? Talk to the people that are already close to you. Just take the commitment to say, you know what? I can talk about Jesus and not be weird. How many of you know that that's possible? Isn't it, right? Because it's also, you can do it and be really weird about it, can't you? You know, like, I didn't say go get a bullhorn and stand on the street corner and Jesus loves you and hates your sin, right? Like, that doesn't do a whole lot in our culture today, right? Except, like, it just makes you want to run away from that person, doesn't it, right? You all know what I'm talking about because you've been there before. Yeah. But I believe this. I believe that following Jesus is the most natural thing that I've ever done in my life. Why? Because we are designed to follow him. He created us with that innate desire to follow him. Now, of course, there's humanity that gets in the way. There's all of that stuff that says, oh, no, I don't want to, like that rebellion that each of us has. But once we say yes to Jesus, the reality is this, it's the most natural thing to do, right? Like, I would think of myself, like, I could, man, you know me, I love talking about Jesus. I am a Jesus, I am a freak for Jesus, right? Like, I just love Jesus so much, but I'm a pretty normal guy, right? Hey, now. That was mean, y'all. That was not life-giving. That was where that pause was right there. But I mean that in, like, the best possible term. Like, I know that each of us are special, and we all have unique qualities that make us who we are. But we can be pretty normal and talk about Jesus. And you can do that with somebody, and all of a sudden, here's what this is called. You want to know what that's called? Authenticity. You can be completely authentic with somebody about your passion for Jesus and doing it in a way that's not weird, right? Like, that is possible for you to do that. So take the commitment to do it, to talk to somebody about how amazing Jesus is and what he has done inside of your life. You invite them into a relationship with you, and then you invite them into a relationship with Jesus. How do you do that? Talk to them about our church. Talk to them about any church. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. We're not about just building our church, even though we want to be able to see that happen. It's more about building the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen right now? Right? We want to be able to see that happen. That's what it takes for you to invite somebody to come experience Jesus. Now, they might not come on the first time. They might not come on the 99th time. But after a while, they're going to be like, I'm just going to go to just get you to stop asking, right? And then as soon as they walk inside of these doors, what's going to happen? Oh, now I understand what you're talking about. Like, I don't even know how to explain it myself, but I get it. I get it. Because we believe wholeheartedly that the Holy Spirit is here working inside That's of right. lives. Come on now. You know it to be true because you've experienced that same process for yourself. How do you do that? How do you reach somebody? Just make the commitment to reach and make the commitment to talk to somebody and be open about your faith and being open about how God has radically changed your life. It's that simple. It truly is. Make the commitment to reach people. The second commitment I'm going to ask for you today is that we're going to make the commitment to change people too. We're going to make the commitment as a church to change people. That's what following Jesus is really about. Because we have rebellion inside of all of us. We have these things that want to push things away. And even all of us, even somebody who's a follower of Jesus, there's all of these insecurities that we have. There's these things about us that we don't like. There's these things about us that drive us crazy. And those are the things that really kind of push us away from Jesus as well. And so when we make the commitment to follow Jesus, all of a sudden he does something powerful inside of us. Check this out, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, come on now, the new creation has come. I am no longer the person that I used to be, right? There's a little bit of residue from all of the sinful nature that I've had, but I am no longer that person. The old is gone and the new is here. How many of you excited about what Jesus does inside of your life, right? Man, that is powerful. That is a life change experience. You begin to change the way you think. You begin to change the way that you talk. You begin to change the way that you feel. You begin to change the way that you see the world. You begin to change the way that you view other people. You change everything.
That's right.
Right? That's what God has called us to do. Check this out, the rest of the Great Commission. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How many of y'all obey is easy for you? Hey, students, how many of y'all is easy to obey your parents at all times, right? Right? No, none of you. You were like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's a foreign concept to us, right? Obeying is hard. How many of you did not speed on the way to church this morning? Some of you walked. That's why. You're cheaters. You're cheating on that question. Man, I do. I'm just going to be honest. I speed wherever I go. I love Arizona because that means you get to drive 80 on the highway. Come on now. Except for 60. They got like some crazy thing that they're doing over there, like actually trying to get people to drive the speed limit, right? It's just nuts. Where do they think they are? This is Arizona. We do what we want to do here, right? It's kind of what it is. Obeying is not easy, is it? It is not easy to obey everything that God has for us. But he says, teaching them to do so. That means that it requires change. To become the person that God has for us, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens through a process. And we want to be a church that will help people through the process. Now, the great thing about following Jesus, and the thing, I just love it so much, I love the grace and mercy of Jesus. Because he knows that it's not going to be possible for us to always do this, right? Yeah. So what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? Let me use this terminology for you for the grace and mercy of Jesus. The grace of Jesus is this: it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be part of the church, right? None of us are. We're not called. It's okay to not be okay. That's the grace of Jesus that says, I know that there are things that you're working on. I know there are things that are pulling you away, a sinful nature that we have, but I want you to know it's okay. I love you. I love you so much. But the mercy of Jesus also says this: it's okay to not be okay, but Jesus doesn't leave you not okay.
That's right. Come on.
He doesn't leave you in that state of just being sinful at all times. No, instead, he changes us. He moves inside of us. It's a teaching process to become a fully devoted follower of his. Change requires action. Check this out, James 1:22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Man, that's powerful. If you just hear it and then you don't do anything about it, you're lying to yourself. You're believing a falsehood. Don't just listen to it. You need to do what it says, right? That means you need to follow Jesus. It requires change inside of you. Jesus doesn't leave you not okay. He changes us from the inside out. Change requires action. Following requires action. You don't just believe in Jesus and just sit there passive about it. You follow him and ask him to change us, to make us new, to become more like him every single day. Come on, somebody. That's powerful right there. It takes work right there, but we are going to be a church on mission. We are going to be a church that will make the commitment to reach people. We're going to be a church that makes the commitment to see people's lives get changed in a powerful way. And the third commitment I'm going to ask for you today is to bring hope to people. Bring hope to people. How many of y'all know that we live in a hopeless world, don't we? It just seems like it's just getting worse and worse, and it's more divided and more, it's just hard. Life is hard. And I think that probably the most powerful statement in the Great Commission is about bringing hope. See, maybe you've even grown up in church and you've heard many sermons about the Great Commission. Go and grow. You got to go and grow people, right? And I think that the most powerful statement is the statement that we have passed over and the statement that is forgotten and the statement that we need to embrace more than anything else. The Great Commission finishes with Jesus saying, and surely I am with you always. I'm with you always. At the very end of the age, I'm with you. I got your back. You don't have to worry about how hard this life is. You don't have to worry about how difficult these moments are because I'm with you. And I think the thing that we've done as a church is that we have forgot to tell people about the hope of Jesus. That of course this world is hard, but there's Jesus. And he's going to be with you. When? When is he with me? Always. He's always with you. And for us to be a church that will be able to tell people about the hope of Jesus is, I think, the thing that is missing so often within current church in our culture today. In fact, if you ask a non-church-going person, somebody who doesn't go to church, one of those people that says, sure, I believe in God, but I don't go to church, or somebody who just says, no, I don't believe in church at all, or I don't believe in God, whatever it is. Lifeway Research did this study of over 2,000 people that are not church-going people, and they asked them to describe Christians. This is the first word that they used. 72% said it was full of hypocrites. How would you describe a Christian? Hypocrite is the first word that they said. And do you want to know why I think that? Here's the reason why I believe that the first word that people say about church-going people, about Christians, that the reason why they call us hypocrites is because for too long we have been known for what we stand against instead of what we stand for. Because what we have done as a church is that we have become a church full of fault finders. Oh no, what you say is wrong. What you believe is wrong. The way that you live your life is wrong. And so what we do is we just point our fingers at them and telling them how wrong they are. And we've just come to a place that is full of fault finders. And why does somebody say that we're full of hypocrites? Why? Because what we've told them is they're wrong when we know that we're wrong in things that we do as well.
That's right.
And so that's probably the truth. Because we know that we're all hypocritical, right? We are. All of us still sin, don't we? No, we got some perfect people in here. No. But we become fault finders to a point where that's the first thing that people think about us. Jesus says this. He said, I told you these things so that in me you have peace. We need some peace in this world today, don't we? We need some peace across geographical country lines. We need some peace in lines across an aisle in our political world. We need some peace in our homes. Jesus says, I've told you these things that you can have peace. Because in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That is hope. That's the hope that Jesus has given us. And so to be a church on mission, to be a church where we can reach people and we can see lives get changed, we are not going to be a church that is full of fault finders. We're going to be a church that is full of hope dealers. Come on now. That the first thing that we do is we don't point a finger at somebody and tell them they're wrong. Instead, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to point our finger towards Jesus and say, he's all the hope that you need today.
Right.
You know, here's what's crazy about this. About this study that was done that said 72% of all those people said that they're full of hypocrites. That same exact study found that 78% want to or at least are willing to hear about Jesus. Do you want to know why that's the case? Because they need the hope of Jesus. Because we live in a hopeless world. Where people are experiencing tragedy, where people are experiencing hurt, where people are experiencing pain, where people are experiencing addiction and disease, where it might like look like their house is beautiful on the outside, but on the inside it's falling apart. And what do they need? They need the hope of Jesus. In fact, here's what's really crazy about this. I didn't even put this on here. Is that when you're looking at individuals from the age of 18 to 29, that number jumps up to 89%. 89% of young people, of millennials that get a bad rap about everything, they desperately want to be able to hear about Jesus. They want to be able to feel hope because we live in a hopeless world. We need to be a church on mission because the world desperately needs Jesus. Bill Hybels made this statement. Powerful. He said, the local church is the hope of the world. People need hope today, don't they? People need to experience Jesus. And I believe this statement, except I think that there's something missing. The local church on mission is the hope of the world. The local church who's doing something about reaching people is the hope of the world. That we aren't going to be a church full of believers. We're going to be a church full of followers. Come on now. We're going to be a church that is full of followers that is fulfilling the mission that God has for us. We're not just going to be a church with a mission waiting for the right time for it to come into action. We're going to be a church on mission. We're going to be a church. We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus to bring hope to the world. Come on, somebody get excited today. This is what God has called us to be. And the reality is this, as I look across this room, and I see lives that have been changed in a powerful way. I know for myself that where I once was, full of destructive habits, destructive behaviors, and destructive relationships, just thinking to myself, this is what life is. And all of a sudden, sitting in line at a food truck on a Monday morning, waiting for a breakfast burrito, feel that slap upside the back of my spiritual head, and having Jesus say to me that there is more in life than what you've got going on right now. And I know what he's done for me. And why am I such a freak about Jesus? Because he has picked me up from all of that nastiness. And now I'm living in a parasos life, exceedingly and abundantly full of joy, exceedingly abundantly full of peace, exceedingly abundantly full of life. I look across this room and I see marriages that were falling apart. I see marriages that were in the middle of a divorce and how God has brought you together. I see addictions that people have been freed from through the power of Jesus Christ. I see how God has moved inside of our lives. We need to be a church that is going to see God move inside of somebody else's life. Can I get an amen today? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for a commitment. I'm not going to ask you to stand for a commitment. I'm not going to ask you to write on a piece of paper and hand it in and have us keep you accountable to it. I'm going to ask you to make this commitment between you and God. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to reach people between you and God inside of your heart. I'm going to ask you today to make a commitment to change people's lives between you and God today. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to be a hope dealer, not a fault finder, between you and God today. For us to be a church on mission, we need you to add value to our church. We need you to be able to step up and to say, this is my church. This is what we're going to do. And I'm going to add value here because I believe that 2019 is going to be the year of multiplication for our church. I believe that we're going to see an increase in our church in 2019. And we're going to see God move in a powerful way because each and every single one of us is saying, yes, I will add value to my church. And I'm going to add value to the kingdom of God. We are Focus 314 and we are a church on mission.